Am I coming through there? Oh, there we go. Thank you, Aaron. So I've talked to a lot of you about new babies this evening, but the topic I'm going to speak on tonight is caring for the elderly. So why don't we have time and pray before we get into this important subject? Father and God, we're thankful that we can gather together in your house. Be with those that can't be here. Lord, help us to heed to your word and care for the elderly in the proper way. God, be with me. Help me to make sense of your word and teach it well. In Christ's name, amen. So as I prepared for this, I found some interesting facts. They'll shed some light on our topic tonight and why it is just so important, caring for the elderly. 20% of all people who have ever lived past the age of 65 are alive right now. It's expected that in 30 years, 1 in 5 Americans will be over the age of 65. Also predicted, by 2050, 42% of those who are 65 will survive to be age 90. So that's something. The care and treatment of these folks, I think, should be top priority, regardless of statistics. So I think the most important fact, or I know the most important fact we'll hear tonight, is God loves his elderly saints very much. Isaiah 46:4 says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Excellent verse. God both loves and sustains his elderly saints. Now, what this often looks like is people being the hands and feet, right? Even sometimes a good majority of non-believers, whether through occupation or through duty and love for family. It's certainly a job easier to take on when you know the Lord Jesus Christ and he can carry you. But I am convinced that a good deal of non-believers do the work as well. But the purpose for this message tonight is specifically for Christians. Saints, how do we care for the elderly? Shelby and I had the privilege of taking care of my grandfather for many years before he passed away and after my grandma passed away, along with other family members that stepped in. But we did meals and moved closer to be near him, and then ended up, as an added bonus, closer to Faith Bible. He taught us a lot of things. God taught us a lot of things. He taught us all my grandma's recipes. He remembered from watching her, and he could sit on the porch and tell me how to fix his tiller, you know, still, and how to plant the garden, and he got to have his garden back. To give you an idea of the timeline, Elise, our very first daughter, was born 2 weeks before Grandpa passed away, in the same week that he moved into our house on hospice. I remember having a talk with him. We knew at the hospital that the cancer had gotten pretty bad and he had taken a fall and they were going to put him on hospice. My uncles at the time dearly wanted to, but they couldn't take him into their homes. And I said, "Grandpa, I'd like you to come home with me and stay at my house." And he said, "Now, Cody, you know I'm going to die. You know I'm going to pass away. That's a smart talk to have with people." And I said, "Yes, Grandpa, I know." And I tried to be tough and say, "Oh, Grandpa, I was in the Army. I know about death and these things." But he called my bluff and said, "No, really, are you ready?" And I said, "Yep." And like I said, 2 weeks after Elle was born, Grandpa passed away and went to be with the Lord. I wish Gary was here. He was a Cubs fan and died the year before they won the World Series. So. But I told you I counted a privilege to care for my grandfather. I did not say that it was easy. If I could, before we get into Scripture, I'd like to share some very just practical things, and I won't go back over them, that I learned when caring for him. First off, you can't do everything for everybody. You just can't. You have to take breaks. You have to ask for help. Sometimes you might have to eat off paper plates at home. Ladies, I know that's terrible, but you're going to be tired, and you might have to be honest with that person that you're caring for and let them know everything is not possible, and they'll be understanding usually. Even if they're not, you have to just let them know and take your breaks. Next, if you serve the Lord for any amount of time, you've ran into takers. There are people that would take every last minute, every dime, every waking hour, and it still wouldn't be enough for them. Now, we don't serve these folks begrudgingly. We love them, but don't let yourself fall into the trap of being at someone's every beck and call. Because when you do that, you will leave other people out. Does that make sense? You cannot serve everyone fairly, and you can't do everything for everybody. You're never going to be a perfect caregiver. You're just not. It's not possible. But if you're there for that person, you are the right person at the right time for them, and God has placed you there, so you are the perfect person. Do your best. Next, soak up the time and enjoy it. Learn from it. Be present. The last thing that anyone would want to feel leaving this earth is ignored or burdensome or forgotten. So soak it up, and you can learn a lot, like I said. And that segues nicely into one of our main Christian principles. Put yourself in their shoes. It might just change your attitude about caring for somebody. Last piece of advice when you're caring for someone who's in a hard time in their life, don't be surprised if you get the worst of them. Don't be surprised if you get the worst of them. Don't get overly offended and sensitive. Don't fire back. We've seen this sometimes at the nursing home and stuff, right? Maybe a nurse fires back and you just say, it makes no sense. Why? You know, so just work with them. We're all going to be sinners until our very last breath, and we none of us know what the end of our life will look like. So I've seen it in nursing homes. I've also seen it with family, people that will abuse verbally their parents. So let's not do that. Our first biblical point tonight is respect your elders. Respect your elders. 1 Timothy 5, and we're going to be there quite a bit tonight if you want to turn with me. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1 here. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. The first thing to note here is assume that one would speak especially respectful to their parents. Then Paul encourages Timothy to tell the church to go even farther, doesn't he? Speaking to all older believers with the same respect and courtesy. Leviticus 19:32 says, stand up in the presence of the aged, or I think some versions say the gray-haired. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God, for I am the Lord. I remember growing up as a child, my mom and dad often telling me to respect my elders, and I think when you're younger, you assume your elders are your parents and your grandparents, but thankfully we learn that by blood and basic humanity, we need to respect our elders. Essentially, elders, I found out, were anyone that was not just older than me, probably more specifically, much older than me. So we should not just honor our mothers and fathers, but all elderly. Let's finish in 1 Timothy here, chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before the Lord. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow over 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may receive those who are really widows. God distinguishes here amongst many lessons that we should work harder for the elderly widow who's in need. God cares for the elderly. We should too. And this piece of scripture calls us to a very important point. God calls us to care for our relatives. When I started researching this, I started reading some numbers that I really hadn't thought about. They went into elder abuse. And I knew there's kids that are disrespectful up into their grown years. But look at some of this. It'll make you sick. 1 in 10 elderly people have experienced elder abuse, and 60% are abused by family members. 2/3 of those are their adult children or spouse. It takes 5 main forms: elder abuse, physical abuse, emotional, financial abuse, neglect, including unattended medical needs or poor hygiene, and verbal abuse. Paul wrote to Timothy, if anyone doesn't take care of his family or relatives, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. We should take that to heart. He's calling them worse than an unbeliever. That's a bad place. Those who don't take care of their family are worse than the people that they often look down on. That Paul even had to write this instruction says that there was a problem in the church, right? And I don't think those problems have completely went away. Paul instructed Timothy and the church to be sure to care for their families. We cannot just stop and hope for social welfare systems in place to take care of people, guys. We can't. We have to do our job. It's our duty to help a relative in need, to walk your parent with Alzheimer's to the finish line, to give him a bath, to feed him a meal. You can do it. Those who don't care for their families are worse than unbelievers. It's not all going to be sugar-coated and nice. Sometimes the end of life looks a lot different than what we thought it might. I'm sure it does. And you should really, I think everyone should work on their spiritual fitness now. There may be a time that you're going to have to be cared for or be a caretaker. So if we work on our spiritual fitness now, in those times, we'll be able to run to the Lord quicker and have better responses, I feel. The Bible calls us to care for our relatives. That implies children as well. Aaron Jr. back there, kids can help their parents in huge dividends just by behaving. They can help by picking up a little bit or help a grandparent by doing chores that they can't really do anymore. When I was probably 8 or 9, I would go and stay with my grandma Ada, and she had begun to lose her mind slowly, and she would mainly just undress and redress a baby doll all day. But she liked to have me there for company. Pastor, she had a dog that was probably twice as old as Sassy, probably 105 years old in human years. But, it was all I could do as a kid, but it was a lot to just sit and visit with her all day and pay attention to her, and she took care of me too. Matthew 19:19. It should be easy to memorize because of the 19:19. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's see a perfect example. Would you turn back with me to John chapter 19? John 19. I'm going to read a good deal of this because I want us to see just what Christ was going through when he set this perfect example. John 19, starting in verse 14. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the 6th hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and 2 others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate, wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write, the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, I have written. Then listen to this. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Whose shall it be? That the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Listen up. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus is so considerate of his mother that even while he was being crucified, he wanted to ensure that she would be taken care of. He placed the responsibility on John, and John took it. And he probably would have anyway. He was there, right? He would have probably done it anyway, but that was on Christ's mind. He heard people cast lots for his clothing. After he carried his own cross and been nailed to it, and he thought about his sweet mother. You see the perfect example? So when Christ did that, it shows us that we can do it when we're lazy or when we're quote-unquote too busy or we're just tired. We can do it. Care for your relatives. Care for all of your relatives. Proverbs 23:22 says, Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. We do well to listen to a father who sinned more than us and had an opportunity to mess up and do bad at life and learn how to do better. We'd be good if he's repented to learn from him. We'd be good not to despise our mother when she grows old because she didn't despise us when we were children. We never neglect the elderly. Matthew 15 gives an example of this. Matthew 15, let's see, starting in verse 3. These were some people that were really doing the wrong thing and twisting God's word. Let's see. 15, starting in verse 3. He answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. These Pharisees would give money to the temple treasury box and then tell their parents, there's your gift. It's like parents buying an RV and telling their kids, oh, there's your inheritance. It's ruder than that. The Pharisees neglected the elderly, and many in our culture behave the same way. If you visit nursing homes, you'll often hear this at least once when you're there. Nobody visits me, not even my family. I don't remember the last time I've had a visit. They don't call, even. They feel like a toss-away generation. They do. They feel like once they've outlived their usefulness, their kids are done with them. And if the kids won't say that out loud, their actions prove it. Their actions prove it. Maybe, like I said, the kids won't say it out loud, but you can tell. And that's breaking the fifth commandment. It's an awful way of thinking. The gospel should affect the way we interact with everyone, especially the elderly. In the Old Testament, like I said, there were laws like we shared earlier in Leviticus 19. Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God, for I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It's a sign of respect. How many people do you see stand up when an older person's talking to them, sitting down in their seat, let alone when they enter a room? That's general things. We should stand up when someone talks to us, or give elderly the first place in line or the first seat. And these aren't things that are worthy of being videotaped and put on social media for likes and reviews. This is everyday stuff, and some people have forgotten it. What happened to yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and all of this? I don't know. People are, I think they think they're too busy. But you can show your love for God through your actions. John 12:26 says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." James wrote in James 1, verse 27, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Pure religion is never just talk. It's backed up by the walk. And our actions toward our elders should be respectful and polite. God is a benevolent Father. He said that he cares for his people even into their old age, and we should too. That's unlike many in the world today. And the root of that nature is selfishness. It's selfishness. Chances are, if you don't respect the elderly, I don't think you respect anyone, honestly. Or if a man doesn't respect his wife, that's how I feel. I don't think they can respect anyone. Respect your elders. Biblical point number three. This is important. The church is a family. The church is a family. When you look around here at Faith, do you see strangers, or do you see mothers and fathers and daughters and brothers? Sometimes we have to lose our worldly family to gain this, don't we? But we're truly blessed. Look around you here at Faith. And keep your eyes open. Think to yourself, is there someone maybe that you've known in the years since they've been here that hasn't been invited to a house? Or maybe you've never sent that person a card or never been to lunch with them. Or maybe there's someone that you might feel they don't feel as welcome as they should. Reach out. Let's recommit ourselves to the fact that the church is a family. I love all of you guys, and I count it a blessing that you're my family. Mark 10, starting in verse 29. Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left his left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last first." It's worth it to leave the world behind and serve Christ. And Shelby and I have even had a relative say to us, "But the Bible says family first." No, sir, it does not. It says God first. And that's who we have to serve first. Next is family. If we look again back in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul advises that Timothy prioritize with some of the saints, right? Caring for them. The primary means of support for folks is family. We've talked about that. Next is the church. It's not the state, guys. Next from the family is the church. And we are the second line of defense, but oftentimes the first line. Because, like I said, people don't always have family around. We have to remember that. Don't rely on the state or someone else to take care of people. The church has lost its place with that. Paul told Timothy he needs to be specific with widows and careful and to serve using the resources that were available. Timothy didn't have unlimited resources, and either do we. We have to unashamedly prioritize our help to people of the household of faith who are called to have more help and who need it more. Should we be a shining light to the world? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. But how much more should we love our church family, right? Be vigilant of needs. Paul had given Timothy some really good advice on this. Have any of you read Psalm 133 in your Bible readings lately? I know a lot of people go through the Psalms a lot. I think I want to turn there. Psalm 133, it's just three verses. Sorry, I've got large print, so it takes me a half hour to flip through my pages. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It's so beautiful to enjoy God's people and get along with them. We should especially care for and respect, though, our elderly saints. All the hard work and errands that have been done since I was in diapers have been done by someone else, and it will have to continue to be done after the fact. We need to remember this. It's an important fact to keep in mind. Our church family is our family. Don't let anyone fall through the cracks. As I stated earlier, though, that doesn't mean that we should not care for elderly that are unbelievers. I recently heard a story about a woman who cared for her estranged mother in her dying days, a mom that had abandoned her. Through her ability, with the help of God, to do that, the woman was saved. Now, what a better representation of the gospel than to love those who you don't think deserve it. So, I hate that I even have to say this. When someone's elderly, that's not your time to exact your revenge and get it on them, or to, you know, take advantage of their money situation. Children will sometimes do this. It's a time to share the gospel with them. And we can do that. You might be the very last person that gets a chance to share the gospel with them, and how many people have been brought to Jesus by just realizing how good he is and how good he is when they don't deserve it. It can happen. I could get into all different scenarios that come with old age. Some are good, bad, some I've never even heard of. There's a plethora of good books on specific topics out in the lobby, and we have a lot of valuable resources. Even Sermon Audio has a lot of different sermons. You can have comfort from God in old age, and even in very hard scenarios, and you can give comfort. Spurgeon said this, and this is just on one topic. Old men sometimes arrive at a second childhood. Do not be afraid, brother. If that is your case, you have gone through one period already that was more infantile than your second one can be. You will not be weaker then than you were at first. These are reminders, the types of things that we can share with elderly loved ones, that it's okay. God loves you, and he has you in his hands. Don't be afraid to utilize counseling or other means to make it through these hard journeys. We have a great pastoral staff that I know will sit down with people. If an elderly person is in need, please don't be afraid to contact the deacons. Aaron or Ron and I, there's a deacon's fund, and we want to help elderly saints, but we miss things. God cares for his elderly saints. Do you? Do you? We need to respect and honor our elders. We talked about that. Also, God has called us to care for our families. If we don't, we're worse than unbelievers, Paul said. God has called us to care for our church family. We are a family. Love each other, forgive each other, and look after each other. Caregiving is a very difficult responsibility, and it is a challenge that will reveal your weaknesses. It is a time that you should grow closer to God. knowing how close the elderly are to God's heart should really, really light a fire under us and make us feel the same way. If you're a saint approaching these years, you already know by now God doesn't lie and give up on you. A pastor told me one time, God's not going to throw you in the trash can over that. God will never throw you in the trash can. The sooner we hear these promises, the better quality of life we can have. Share it with people. Even into your old age, I am He. God is He that carries you. He's promised to have us by the hand until we go home. And we can rest easy with that. Remember, share the gospel with those in need that are elderly. Care for them and pray for them. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, thank you for folks that are older than us, that have taken care of us, that have shown us the way, and Lord, that have done your work all these years. God, help us to respect them. Help us to be like them. Help us to end well. Lord, help us to be good caretakers and be pleasant to be taken care of. Lord, we love you, and we ask that you be with us as we go away tonight. In Christ's name, amen.